Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Voss Larikos. Voss, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Looking forward to this playoff matchup with the arch-rival Steelers. Hope the Ravens can notch their second consecutive win over the Steelers after tough sledding against the Steelers in the postseason early in the Harbaugh era.
It's been 10 years since the teams have met at all. They met the last time in Pittsburgh in 2014. Broke a long curse against all Pittsburgh teams. I've watched the Orioles lose game 7 twice at Memorial Stadium against the Pirates. They had some bad luck with the Clippers did in the 1970s. And, of course, the Steelers and wins over the Colts go back to the Jones era in terms of the playoffs. So that was their first ever win. And this is the first ever home game for the Ravens against the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah, just to touch on that 2014 game. Obviously, the Ravens to get over the hump in 2012 and Ed Reed to cash in with a Super Bowl victory after all those years of toiling away was great. But something special about beating Pittsburgh in the postseason after they seemingly ripped the Ravens' hearts out a couple times in a row. So certainly my favorite wild card win for sure.
Right. That was the game highlighted by the Terrell Suggs between the legs interception. Mm-hmm. It was one of the really cool plays in Ravens history. All right.
Sure.
We got some things to talk about the current Ravens right now. And we're going to start at the safety position where there've been a couple changes. It's not necessarily the biggest news this week. Marcus Williams has no part of the Ravens' future. They kind of made that clear this week with a reworked contract that will set him up for a post 6-1 release. It's actually just a cap dollar moving play that the Ravens have made for 2025.
Yeah, as I understand it, the Ravens are going to be able to receive some of the cap relief earlier than they would have before the contract was reworked. Certainly, we all saw the writing on the wall with Marcus Williams not even getting game day activation the last several weeks.
A very, very sad story. I mean, the fall off of Marcus Williams is really hard to put together. I think Jason Smith had some interesting points on the show. He hopes everything's going right with his personal life, because just for him to fall off the way he did between his play in 22 and 23, which was outstanding on a per play basis. And even, you know, his ability to play with one arm and not be the tackler he should be, but otherwise be a good football player. Really a shame to see this happen to him. And you just wonder what's at the root of all of it.
Yeah, I certainly agree. It's a puzzling situation with Marcus. Maybe he lost half a step, but a position of safety, sometimes you can get away with losing half a step if you have the instincts. Didn't work out for him, did not jive with Zach Gore, and unfortunate, because I thought this was one of the best, probably my favorite outside of the organization free agent signing Eric DaCosta has made during his tenure personally. Mm-hmm. So it is disappointing, but you know, got to move on. You don't have every ball over the fence, right?
Yeah. And the free agency and signings he's had a little more difficulty with than he's had with the draft picks. The draft picks are going very well in the DaCosta era. I think anybody would agree. Eddie Jackson, a little more news this week. Now, I don't really know too much about this, but there is an article from Jeff Zriebeck talking about the reasons why Eddie Jackson was suspended, then eventually cut. And it has strange things. Obviously, the Ravens announcing for non-illness reasons that he was going to miss the game, which they don't need to do that. But reportedly, he got into a shouting match with Orr. And when I say shouting match, he yelled or reacted poorly to Orr while other players were around. And that was enough. Obviously, Eddie Jackson hadn't been playing well, so the decision could not have been that difficult. And I guess he came back and played one game after that, right? He was active.
Yes.
For one
no, game. that was Marcus, I believe. Marcus played two games, I think, after he was benched. I think Eddie, once he hit the bench, he rode off into the pasture. Yeah.
Okay. And that could well be. I'd have to look at like what weeks he played and but in any case, Jeff Zriebeck has an article about it on The Athletic if you're interested in more detail about that. Of course, the biggest current news for the Ravens is the Zay Flowers situation in terms of injury report, and certainly the biggest news for this show. I'm sorry about my dog in the background here. I know that's got to be a little annoying. Hopefully this will stop. But Zay uncomfortably grabbed his knees, almost seemed like a non-contact injury when I saw it originally on the field. Mm-hmm. And then I realized he'd actually gone knee to knee with somebody, which that can be very painful. I don't think of it as normally resulting in sprains and such. So an interesting, I would have thought it would have either been something serious. But now he comes and he's got a middle kind of injury that he may play again.
Yeah, a lot of tentacles on this topic here. I guess the first question is, did he take any issue with the play call, Ken? Because bubble screen in a game that may or may not be meaningful, it's a questionable decision there. And I'll let you come back to that once you set the dog down. Settle the dog down, excuse me. I would have entered this week 18 game with the opinion that Flowers is one of the three or four players they can least afford to lose. My theory has been the reason why they have lost, they just have not done well in the postseason necessarily in the Lamar Jackson era, is because of the lack of a secondary wideout that stretches the field. But just back to that question, any issue with the play call in a Week 18 game where we said last week that they should put health at the forefront?
Not really. If you're going to have them on the field at all and they need to win the game, then you have to do that. This was fairly early in the game. I don't think the Ravens could have called the game decided at this point. Was it 7-0 or something at that point?
It wasn't.
So if it's not decided, I think you just got to keep playing and you take your risks. And winning the AFC North was important for the possibility of getting a home AFC championship game.
Sure.
The possibility of just getting a better seed. I mean, they still were looking to face the Chargers and not the Steelers, which is, maybe or maybe not actually a better matchup for them. But they did what they needed to do to win the game. And unfortunately, Zay and Bateman getting lit up like that, a very short period of time away from each other. The Bateman hit in particular, I thought was very clearly on a defenseless receiver. I'm very upset about the lack of a flag there. Harbaugh clearly was too, and he very, very rarely shows emotion like that from the bench.
I would say that's one of the, they call them hospital balls, where the quarterback leads the receiver into a hit. One of the worst Lamar's thrown that I can ever remember of his tenure. That was my immediate thought on the Bateman hit. But back to Zay, bubble screens for a receiver, he's going to take hits. And that's with the benefit of hindsight. But again, I think he was one of the few top three, four, five players they could least afford to lose entering the postseason. And unfortunately, we were praising the results of a healthy roster. And one of the most important players, I think, is now on the shelf.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very much they're limited in terms of what they can do. Now, let's talk about that maybe first in terms of scheme and then in terms of moves, in terms of what they can do. And I'll start with scheme, is that the Ravens are going to almost fortunately play in some really bad weather here coming up. And I'd be completely against that, but the Ravens have enough talent to get by there, whereas other teams often won't. In terms of how they can run the football effectively, their offensive line being big enough, there just aren't a lot of teams in National Football League who do what the Ravens can in terms of running the football under this weather. I think the Ravens need to totally embrace misdirection and Jackson carrying the football, even with the increased risk this postseason. So it'd be terrible to get Lamar hurt, and it might mean the start of next year is in jeopardy if he got a really serious injury. But on the other hand, Lamar Jackson's legacy is going to be defined by a Super Bowl and the flags fly forever from the Ravens fans' perspective. So I'm guessing they would like to see that door open. Lamar's also very good at protecting himself. I'm really not as worried as maybe I should be by additional Lamar runs, but Lamar has taken a few hits in the middle of the field lately that should have concerned me more.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a heavy 12 personnel game. And Pittsburgh is one of the worst at defending 12 personnel. We've seen it before. We saw it with Greg Roman's offenses. We've seen one receiver have a big game in the playoffs and the Ravens still lose twice now. First was Hollywood Brown in 2019, and Zay Flowers last year in the conference championship game. So, my sort of theory, and a lot of this is based off the 2012 Ravens run, you need two receivers to pop off. And two receivers to make impact plays. Doesn't necessarily have to be wide receiver. It could be a tight end. Unfortunately, and this kind of dovetails into your point about Lamar Jackson's struggles in the elements, Mark Andrews has struggled in the postseason. And I'll just bring up the numbers quickly. I know yards per target is your preferred evaluation point. Mark Andrews' career yards per target in the regular season is 8.75. In the postseason, it's 5.28. He had 10 targets for 5 over 73 against Cincinnati. 11 targets, only caught 4 against Buffalo. He's had some drops, and he has not had a touchdown. So when you want to say Lamar has struggled in the postseason, I think when his go-to target has also struggled in the postseason, those two go hand in hand.
Yeah, he's been targeted a lot in the postseason. His five games where he's played the whole game, he's had 7, 7, 6, 11, and 10 targets. He's never been higher than 7.5 yards per target in any of those games. Now, there are certain ones I think you can throw out. He had 10 targets for – actually, it was one of his better games, 10 targets for 73 when he played with Huntley.
Huntley, yeah.
But in the other games, he's had a great deal of trouble. And I still remember the wind-related interception that really was the first snowball in what became the Avalanche against Tennessee. Yeah. And the only thing I can say about Andrews is he's been unbelievably on the same page with Lamar, in particularly the second half of this season. And he came with no touchdowns in the first few games of this year. He then is the highest ever for any tight end or wide receiver in Ravens history as a percentage of targets. So 11 out of 61 this year, 15.9%. So right now they are synced up. He's had touchdowns in six straight games. Of all the receivers they have, I know, you can point to Andrews as it hasn't worked out. I think a lot of that has been some weather related and more its impact on Lamar. I think Andrews will be a very dependable receiver, I would hope, in this postseason.
I think that the cold weather has shown an impact on the receiver's ability to catch the ball. I believe, at least from my eyes, I saw four drops last week, and I think it makes sense. When your hands are freezing cold, it's a little bit harder to catch the ball. It's not that Lamar was wildly inaccurate. He hit Seth Roberts and on the hands in that Tennessee game. He dropped it. You can go back and forth on that. Just a point I wanted to make, you're going to need two. I think this may be an Isaiah Likely game. Because we know Tomlin, at least watching Hard Knocks throughout the in-season Hard Knocks, he has preached to his defense, mark Andrews. And he was more than upset when they gave up the touchdown in the second matchup to Andrews. And I think that will be a focal point of the more healthy now Pittsburgh defense.
All right. If we're talking about beyond receivers, though, what the Ravens could do schematically, embracing – misdirection, maybe use of Mitchell in a flanker role where he's got that jet motion role, more orbit motion type stuff, which sets you up for a screen occasionally, a wide receiver screen or a running back screen or whatever it might be. Use of Henry out of the backfield would be fine for me in terms of getting him the ball out in space. He's proven to be very effective at that. Want to see Justice Hill become a big part of the offense on the snaps he plays, and I want to see lots of counters and lots of the wham, crunch, and trap blocking we've seen in the last couple of weeks in scripted plays, I think could be very effective against the Steelers. So they've done a good job of running themselves out of some plays, which has been nice. And I think all of that has got to be tapped into, because the Ravens lose a significant advantage over any team, but maybe most so over the Steelers in terms of their passing game. When high winds are reducing its value.
Yes, this is the game that's going to show whether paying up for a running back was worth it, I think. Derrick Henry was brought into Baltimore at, their teammates sacrifices potentially at pass rush, and he went cheap on the offensive line in order to fit his salary under the cap. And in the first matchup against Pittsburgh, when they did have a more healthy unit, he had his second lowest yardage output of the season, was 65 yards. The only one that was worse was week one against Kansas City, and 31 of those yards came in one run. So it's going to be a grind. It's going to be a classic AFC North smash mouth game, and we're going to find out, does a factor back, an impact back like Derrick Henry, can he lead the way to a postseason victory?
Great point on Jackson. And it's also fair to say, Henry, but it's also fair to say he came back with a great game against the Steelers, and he's all anyone wanted to talk about after that 160-yard performance. So we got to hope it's more like column B than column A. I think the value that we'll see is that Lamar will not try and do it all himself. I do want to see him try and do a lot himself. But Lamar will not try and do it all himself in this game, such that he pulls every read and he really is feeling antsy about feeling like he's the only one who can take the football. I think having Henry in the backfield will mean that the focus will stay on the run game. The weather may also be a factor in pushing it. And by the way, weather does not need to be unbelievably bad such that, you know, you can't go outside and walk your dog. If you can go outside and walk your dog at 30 degrees, which is probably what it's going to be, 30, 35 degrees, but it's windy as hell, you know, you're not really feeling it in the hat, and you're certainly not trying to throw a football in that crap. So it's really bad weather doesn't have to be so bad that, yeah, I don't know why he's talking about that. I can stand it just fine when I walk my dog to the corner and back.
It felt like Antarctica at the bus stop this morning, I'll say that, with the wind kicking up and the cold and the snow on the ground.
I've been to Antarctica. It's been right around freezing. It didn't seem so bad, honestly. Everybody's out riding their bikes, honestly, any kind of settlement there. Yeah. So
interesting.
Anyway, let's move on to the MVP voting a little bit, because I think if I had to say, we posted a couple of.
We skipped over Deontay Hardy.
I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
No, I just thought it was notable that he was designated for return with the news of Flowers, and sort of seemed like a corresponding move. And I think there's a chance he could play this week and maybe, you know, fill a role as far as some of these shorter gadgetry bubble screen type of plays if he's up to speed. If not, Nelson Agholor and maybe Tez Walker even are going to have an opportunity to make some plays in the postseason.
All right. I'm hopeful as well. The move seems one made of a prophylactic nature, kind of like the Ham move last year. Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe he can be ready in time. But this is kind of like the last moment where he can really help the team in terms of having a 3-week window and then a chance to play. So I think it's a good sign. And you say he's been a full go at both practices, right?
Last two. Yep. Full go. Okay. So he's been on the shelf for a while, so I think they were keeping him in reserve in case Deontay Johnson went to Houston or whatever. he could. I mean, he has, you know, he's not Zay Flowers, but he's 70% of Zay Flowers, I think, or 65%, something like that. So if they're looking for a guy with a little bit of that jitterbug juice, he might be – he, along with Keaton Mitchell, I agree with your point, could be that guy.
Yeah, he's the legitimate misdirection option. They've also had some struggles in the return game with people holding on to the football, so I think they might be still kind of looking for somebody. I don't think Sims, I don't think he's given them any problems so far returning the ball. I think he had one pretty decent return, they may not be entirely happy with his ball security either.
Yep.
All right. So moving on a little bit, the MVP race. Now, we had high hopes.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs, with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Are you 50 or older? This news is for you. The CDC now recommends you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at risk. People 50 or older are over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults 18 to 49. Just one shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
I think Lamar Jackson clearly outplayed Josh Allen this year. There's a splitting effect, which you will see very consistently from anyone who's a proponent of Josh Allen. And that's that they will try and take a segment of his throws and discount a portion that Lamar Jackson did. So anything about Lamar Jackson is basically, but that was all accomplished against so-and-so, or that was under these conditions, or his supporting cast was greater, blah, 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 blah. But Josh Allen, when he was throwing on one foot on a Tuesday, was really outstanding. I mean, it's ridiculous. The overall statistics are so incredibly lopsided in terms of Jackson. I'm really shocked that the MVP voters have not turned it around, but there is indication they're not going to. And when I see two things about betting lines that are telling me it's not likely. Number one is, even though they're relatively stable, the Lamar Jackson line has gone up slightly. I'm seeing only one book on Odds Checker is still offering a Lamar Jackson line, and it's like 122 and 4.5 in that range are what the lines are on both players. So 122 means it's like a horse racing value. A dollar returns you $1.22 on Josh Allen, and a dollar returns you, I forget if it's 420 or 450 on Lamar Jackson. But it's not growing yet, but it's the kind of thing that, particularly if there were multiple people in the market or multiple books in the market, you'd see a phenomenon called race to the bottom occur, where they'd each be trying to have a little bit better price on Lamar Jackson because they know the thing is over.
They won't take the money. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we saw, by the way, in the 2016 and 2024 election night wagering. It's exactly what happened both times. Trump went from a 20% chance to win in the morning of that to, 90, then 93, then 94, then 96, then 98. And you could see that in the wagering lines all night, which is all I'm tracking to do it. I'm not, a political analyst or tried to do that component of it. Same thing against Kamala Harris in 2024. That you see that books are still trying to get money. So that's my fear about this. And that's the only reason why I believe it. There have been a couple of voters who've actually said they're pro Lamar coming out of this. They get to the end of the season and said, I was planning to vote for Josh Allen the whole time, but Lamar just had the better season when I reflected upon it. I think he clearly did. I'll be mildly upset when he doesn't get it.
I agree with you. I think Lamar certainly earned it. No disagreement at all there. I think it's become a career appreciation award a little bit, where Lamar has two, Allen doesn't have any. Mm-hmm. Let's give Josh one because he's been in the mix for several years. Didn't work for Russell Wilson, for the record, when he was with Seattle, where he had never got one. But it is what it is. I'm focused on team goals at the end of the day. I'd rather have a Super Bowl MVP than a regular season MVP.
Oh, yeah. I think that's an easy choice. Yeah, the Ravens last year set the all-time record for wins against winning teams in a season, going 10-4 last year. The 10 wins was the most ever in the history of the NFL. This year, they came back with 9, and no other team has matched that. No other team's had 9 either. So the Ravens and the Ravens are 1-2 in that statistic. 19-7 record for Jackson against such teams over the last 2 years. And it's 19-6 for Jackson because he didn't play that Steelers game at the end of last year is really remarkable. So anyway, it stands on its own. I think at some point we're going to get to the end of the career of Lamar Jackson, and we're going to wonder what we just observed in some way. It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be a Hall of Fame career. I am fairly confident, although this is one of the good opportunities. You can't squander it, that he'll get his Super Bowl championship at least once. So, there's a good chance for that. And I think we're going to be amazed by the potential heights that he can reach in terms of a lot of milestone numbers. This is something else that's come up this week, Voss, that I kind of believe is at the core of this, the problem in terms of keeping receivers happy here. And Marquise Brown, of course, wanted to be traded. South Florida boy, everything in common with Lamar, just didn't really want to be part of the Ravens offense because it wasn't one that was going to give him the volume of targets that he thought he'd get paid. That's how I take it. Mm-hmm. Deontay Johnson, same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question for you. The Ravens offense as constructed, being a quality team who closes out a lot of games, and B, an offense that's focused on Lamar Jackson and the read option, can it ever have a number one receiver? Can it ever have a number one wide receiver specifically? And the reason I ask that is I don't see a way that you can ever be funneling targets to a wide receiver in this offense when anything that takes options away from Lamar Jackson, run or pass, is a negative.
Absolutely. Fantastic point, Ken. I would not want to funnel. I mean, Zay Flowers, 1,000 yards, made the Pro Bowl. If that's not a number one wide receiver, quote unquote, I don't know what is. But yeah, as far as Davante Adams or DeAndre Hopkins that demands 10 to 15 targets every game, I certainly don't want that. I think Lamar is the game breaker, the playmaker, that he's the conductor of the orchestra, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, I'm in the same spot. So anyway, hopefully the Ravens will get the returns on that. And honestly, I've got to think about extending Lamar Jackson. McFarland is already saying it might come this off season, but I think it certainly might come after 2025, probably at the latest. You wouldn't even he has a deal in his contract where he can't be franchised again. So you don't have any market frictions. So you need to make sure you get that deal done a year early rather than a year late.
I always want to, my general theory philosophy is, if you're not getting a discount, what's the purpose of going a year early? Because you don't know what that year could bring. Let him prove it again. But for a player like Lamar, he's the foundation. I think he's already Hall of Fame, 2 MVPs, and, he's on the road to having a statue erected outside M&T. But if you look at the cap, they're not in a terrible situation as far as starters next year. On a quick tangent, but if they tender Darius Washington, they basically need a left tackle, wide receiver 3, and a cornerback 3. And other than that, they're pretty much ready to play. So they're not dire straits with all kinds of big name free agents that are about to leave the building quite yet. Now you certainly want to look ahead, but see if you can lock up a Travis Jones at a little bit of a, what do you call it?
Hometown discount.
Divisible benefit.
Oh, yes,
that's what you like to say. So anyway, that's my tangent.
Yeah. I'm with you exactly on that. That's where the Ravens focus and attention needs to be this year. Cause a lot of third year players, not too many guys headed immediately to free agency this year, but they will be next year, and they will be going in very significant component that will be similar to what happened this offseason, except maybe more painful in terms of the actual quality the players lost.
True.
All right. Charlie Kolar back. Back in an inline role, and I thought he looked pretty good in this first game. I definitely think that'll be a big part of playing against the Steelers, is getting him on Watt or on Highsmith as an extra blocker.
Yeah, I think he certainly has a role, an important role in a game that's setting up with this type of elements. And that tip to us, because we both said last week we think he's going to be activated, and we think Jalen Armour Davis is the one that's going to be put on IR, and that's what happened. So, yeah, I think Charlie, he can be a little bit of a playmaker when he leaks out sometimes. But just as far as an inline blocker, to have him and also with Pat Ricard, just gives you more weapons or more options as far as blocking his front. And I think we should, I guess, as we lead into the injury report, make note that Pittsburgh is considerably healthier than they were in the last game, in the second matchup. They have Sean Elliott back. They have Joey Porter back, who missed most of that game. TJ Watt was dinged up with an ankle, I believe. And if I recall, Highsmith also missed that game. So they have the horses back. So it's going to be a challenge for this front. And, you know, hopefully Falele can continue his more consistent play.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the interior, they have tough matchups also with Keanu Benton and Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward's working his way through some illness this week. If he had what I had, it involves a lot of trips to the bathroom, and that might have been something that McCary was suffering from, I think, this last week. But hopefully the Ravens are ready to go, and hopefully they don't have some kind of outbreak of the thing created by the fact these guys are on the same field. Which would be nasty indeed.
Yeah, there's a bug going around for sure. I had the Steelers injury report pulled up, and I lost that window. But I'll give you – let's go with the Ravens injury report first. They are – besides Zay Flowers, they're in pretty good shape. Flowers has been ruled out officially. I think we all saw the writing on the wall. You could kind of read between the lines when Harbaugh tried to mix in the day-to-day – lingo without saying he was day-to-day, say we're going to take it day-by-day, and then the reporters ran with it as in he's day-by-day, not week-by-week. You know, people that have been listening to Harbaugh interviews for a long time probably picked up on that little nuance there. But Kyle Hamilton is now Wednesday and Thursday full practice. He exited the game twice last week, and I don't think he's been right since – that big tackle he put on Najee Harris in the first Pittsburgh matchup, where he kind of grabbed him up, and just seems like maybe he's got a shoulder issue or something. But he's been full two games, and obviously he's a gamer. Deontay Hardy was – and actually, I stand corrected. He was a full on Tuesday, DNP Wednesday, full on Thursday. So he's listed as questionable, and it does seem that Justice Hill is set to return with two full practices in a row. And I think they could definitely utilize Justice Hill, one of the more underrated players on this team.
Yeah, there's something about a personal matter that Hardy had to attend to on Wednesday, I think.
Okay.
Might have been in there. But he's listed as whatever the original injury was, and then personal. So anyway, it being what it is, I think there's probably a better chance that he returns. But the Ravens have really waited till the end of the 3-week window for most of these players. It's just, this is a playoff game. So, you know, you hope that it'll be a little earlier in this kind of case.
And I have Pittsburgh pulled up if you want to run through that quickly. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Yeah. So, they definitely have an injury bug. They had Boswell and Hayward looked like the two that were suffering from an illness. Hayward came back to full practice today on Thursday. Pretty much their whole squad was full practice for everybody that's not on IR, except for Mason McCormick, who I believe has a broken hand, and he's a starting guard for them, and he's listed as questionable. And if you want to take some confidence into this matchup, Ravens defensive line should have a pretty good day, I would hope, against the Steelers front.
Yeah, everybody's back full now, Pierce and Jones in particular. But the big five from last year who played every snap are back. And you certainly hope that they'll be able to dominate the interior. It's one of the really key matchups they need to win in this game, is making sure they control that line of scrimmage and control the run game. Also control the passing lanes of the line of scrimmage. Russell Wilson is short. And it's always been one of the reasons why everything's layups and three-pointers is because when other opposing defenses get their hands up, then they give him a lot of trouble in terms of blocking passing lanes and, frankly, blocking his sight at the line of scrimmage. So that's been a big deal.
Yeah. Just on that note, I think the one area the Ravens defense can be exploited is passing between the triangle between Roquan Smith, Chris Board / Malik Harrison, and Ardarius Washington. And that is not Russell Wilson's skill set. So that bodes well for sure.
Very much true. That is definitely not his preferred area of the field. The thinnest position for the Ravens, then, wide receiver, as far as we know for Saturday, even with Deontay Hardy back, they would only have five. And Tez Walker or he would be the 4-5 spots, Aguilar and Wallace in the 2-3 spots behind Bateman. Now, how serious does Bateman's health become an issue without Flowers?
Ugh. I don't even want to think about it. I think Bateman's improvement this year has been along with Lamar's improvement, which go hand in hand, has been the probably the biggest factor as far as the offense having such a tremendous year.
Yeah, Bateman's year can't be understated in terms of what it is. 12.5% of his targets were touchdowns, highest ever for a Ravens wide receiver.
Wow.
10.5 yards per target, which was also the highest ever for a Ravens wide receiver. It only trails Mark Andrews' rookie year in terms of the greatest. In a single season. So he's really become a great value contract there. So he should at least get one more year at the same terms. And then I think they'll renegotiate and try and keep Bateman longer term. So we'll see how that goes.
I hope you get one more year of value play at least before you have issues. You got to show loyalty both ways, hopefully.
Okay. We got one question in the mailbag. Let's try and address that. Andrew St. Miller. I'm not sure. Miller. I don't know how to say this. He says it's been discussed, but I find it unlikely the Ravens trade or cut Andrews. I understand the financials, but it reminds me of Bolden, which Baltimore brass has said they regret. They see Andrews as a culture / tone setter along with exceptional play on the field. Great comment, by the way, Andrew. Appreciate the thing. What are your feelings about that?
I think there's one big difference, and that is that Mark Andrews has a capable backup behind him in Isaiah Likely, and Anquan Boldin was just simply subtracted, where the Ravens said, well, Torrey Smith and Jacoby Jones and Dennis Pittle pick up the slack, who are already on the squad. So I think it's going to be hard to keep both long-term, to pay both long-term. You might be able to keep both next year, and I think between Likely and Andrews, I think who performs the best this postseason may be the deciding factor.
I don't see them signing Andrews to extending Andrews with a long-term deal. I think even though he's Lamar's favorite, I think that would be a mistake at his age. I think it's up in the air whether you keep him on the squad and play him next year, because it's a lot of money relative to the cap. He's worth it is the thing, but that also means he has trade value. Mm-hmm. So, and I was thinking maybe about a fourth round pick might have been the trade value around midseason. Now I think it's a third and might even be a high third that you could get for him. And I think I'd be, I think you got to make some tough decisions on that. They traded, if we look back at Ravens history and the DaCosta history I'm talking about, they traded Marquise Brown at the end of his first contract. They traded Orlando Brown. They traded James Hurst after 2 years.
Caden Hurst. Yep.
I'm sorry. You're right. All to unravel that great draft that they had. They've got a similar situation in that all these guys, they weren't drafted at the same time, two of them were, but they're all coming due at the same time in terms of their contracts, and they've got to figure out how to get the most value they can out of those players, which probably means trading one, keeping two, and drafting another tight end and get those contracts desynced.
If I have if I'm a new head coach with a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback, I could not think of a player better to give my young quarterback a safety blanket than Mark Andrews. And I would part with certainly a day two pick, I think.
Yeah. I imagine it's the Bears have a decent tight end in Cole Kmet, But imagine Caleb Williams and Mark Andrews together, and what a really nice thing that'd be. But there's the other guys. Cam Ward is going to be coming out in the draft. Shedeur Sanders. I mean, those guys will need a competent tight end to go with them, and you know, being able to get Andrews for essentially just cap space, and a 2025 pick probably certainly doesn't seem like that bad a deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Voss, always a pleasure doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can ask you a question online or hear more about what's going on with your restaurant.
Sure. I am on Twitter X at Vasilis Fiamata, VASILISFIAMATA. Ken, really enjoyed doing this show with you, and I hope we are back in the saddle next Thursday previewing the divisional round matchup.
There you go. That really is what we're all hoping for. Other folks out there, appreciate all the listens this year. The support for the show has been tremendous. Really appreciate that. Please tell a friend about it. Use hashtag Film Study Mailbag. A lot of great content develops just from us talking about your questions. And otherwise, write us a 5-star, 50-word review if you can make a few minutes for that. Voss, great doing this with you again. And for Voss Larikos and Ken McCusick, we'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.